This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Donnelly will join us at 7:45. He does afternoons on The Fan in Raleigh. So we'll talk Caps Canes from a little bit different perspective at 7:45. And Warren Sharp will join us later in the show. We'll talk NFL with him.
Tim Donnelly's a good dude. Played quarterback at the University of Delaware. He's the cousin of Sean Glennon, of course, friends of ours, and who played at Virginia Tech. But he's been bouncing around, doing radio down in the Virginia Beach area. Now he's down in Raleigh, so he'll be very cool. Give a good perspective.
All right, so we wanted to talk some Commanders here. We have some audio of Todd McShay. He joined Craig Hoffman on the Team 980 yesterday. There's a little bit of a longer clip, but this is Todd McShay talking about the Commanders draft and what he liked about it.
For people that may not know, I mean, Todd McShay used to be with ESPN for a long, long time, right? Who's he with now? Is he just doing his own thing?
I'm not sure.
You know? I believe so.
He's doing his own thing?
I think he does stuff with The Ringer, too.
Oh, and The Ringer?
Maybe mostly a lot of his own stuff.
But a very well-known, like, draft Nick kind of guy.
All right, so here's Todd McShay from the Craig Hoffman show yesterday.
I just thought, I mean, the first, four picks, I guess it was, in my opinion, they were kind of ahead of the curve and got players, or the first three, I should say, got players that absolutely... I expected to come off the board earlier than they did. Josh Connerly at 29. I guess it wasn't that much later than what I expected, but it also was an offensive tackle run that happened fast, and when the shelf fell off, there was just nothing left, you know. I mean, we can get into all of them, but Connerly specifically, and I'm guessing people were like, well, we just brought in Laramie Tunsil, and, you know, we're drafting a left tackle, and he played left tackle at Oregon the last couple of years. But Connerly's 21 years old, man. Like, he's just a pup. And a lot of people in the league think, and I tend to agree, like, this is a player who, with continued, like, strength development, his core strength, and continuing a little bit with the hand usage, he can develop into a really good starting left tackle. But right now, he might be a really good starting guard in the NFL. And you say, is that what we really wanted to spend in the first round pick? And my answer is, like, look at where some of the guards went. You know, we had a guard taken at 12 in Tyler Booker. We had another one in Zabel. We had Donovan Jackson all going the first round. And again, like, Laramie Tunsil is a great player. Laramie Tunsil turns 31 years old in August, and he's on his third team. And so this may not be – it is a tremendous signing, and it may be a tremendous signing and acquisition and, an asset for this team, especially with a young star quarterback. There's nothing more important than protecting him. But it may only – maybe it's only for a couple of years, and maybe you're developing Josh Connerly. And also, don't forget, Sam Cosmi is coming off of the surgery. And, you know, it's pointing towards he'll be ready, but until you know, you don't know. And so if the best asset in this organization is Jaden Daniels, you better be prepared to protect him, and you better have backup plans. And so if you draft maybe a starting guard or a guy who can play multiple positions along your line at 21 years old and can develop him, you know, the fastest 10-yard split of any offensive lineman this past year, you watch him, like, ultra-quick feet.
Hold on for a second. Can you stop it for a second, Ben? This is great, but I want to hear what he has to say about the other guys, too. Does he get to it, Drab? He's doing like 10 minutes just on Connerly.
He just keeps going and going.
On Connerly? I want to hear him about Amos.
Who do you want? We have Amos.
Amos, and I want to hear kind of his... Listen, I should have said this to you before. I would like to hear a little of his analysis on each of the top couple guys. You know what I'm saying? Like right. Amos. I want to hear what he has to say about the tech receivers. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that part comes down to the medical team and what they like. What does that entail? Is that it's going to be something that is hindering him? Is that something that like we're worried about the long term? And obviously, you know, the organization, when it comes to medical and it comes to you know, the character can be different. When it's the medical, you have the scouting combine and you have the combine rechecks. Each team has their own doctors, and there's very few things that get past NFL teams from a medical standpoint. What is the difference from organization to organization is what they deem acceptable, right? And so for one team, it could be take them off the board. I'm not saying Amos specifically. I'm saying in general. A certain injury could be take them off the board. Another one could be, well, we value the first and second round picks as – you know, we have to hit on starters, and if this is a concern for the first, you know, so there's different medical standards for each team. What I can tell you is that there was some back information that came out, and I don't know how late you want to call it, but I also know that most evaluators had him late first, early second. You know, and it's a guy who played 34 games at Louisiana Lafayette, transferred to Alabama, kind of just, and I give him a lot of credit, man. It's kind of like, it didn't work out here, moving on, and then came to Ole Miss in 13 starts, and played his best ball.
Mike's dead.
A lot has come out, you know, in the last few days about the drafting process. One thing which has jumped out to me is, you know, Peters went on
mm-hmm.
with Pat McAfee,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about the R&D department that they
mm-hmm.
have.
Mm-hmm.
They have 12 guys who are analytics
mm-hmm.
guys who were recommending a lot of these picks.
Mm-hmm.
And look, McShay seems to like the picks. They felt, you know, they had a commander's caucus too, which apparently when they drafted Lane, everybody on Saturday morning had to submit who they thought would be their favorite pick of the day. And the consensus, the caucus was that's who they were going to go for, and then he fell to him and was available, and they picked him. So it's a lot of thought in these picks.
I love it. Does he talk more about – do you have anything about Lane?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really would have started off the show this way. Instead of Connerly, I should have I love Jalen Lane, man. I love him. I know he's 5'9 and 3/4", but he's well-built at 191. He's got longer arms. He ran a 4.34. Listen to this. You ready? You probably heard it at this point. You probably heard everything about him. But no wide receiver in the past decade at the combine has posted a better trio of results in the 40, which he ran a 4.34, the broad jump, 11 foot, and the 3 cone. And so you're talking to top end speed. The broad jump is the lower body explosiveness. And then the 3 cone is the change of direction, body control, stop, start, all, you know, like, and then you watch him on tape. And here's the thing, like, Jalen Lane he began his career at Middle Tennessee State. And then obviously wound up in Virginia Tech in 2023. He was the best receiver. His numbers just sucked because they didn't have a quarterback throwing the ball. He combined for 79 catches, just over 1,000 yards. You know, but when you look at what he had to do in order to get that production, it was like bubble screens, quick game, reverses, like the return game. He's outstanding. He was 26th nationally in combined kick return yards, going back to 2021, and ranked second nationally in punt return average with 15.5 back at MTSU. So this guy does a little bit of everything. He's really good with the ball in his hands. Like, that's where he's excellent. I think he might be the most underrated wide receiver from this entire class. Mm. And then I think about him in Cliff's system.
Wow. I love the fact that you're adding just a quick, twitchy, versatile guy to the offense. It's just going to be another chess piece for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Just another piece to add along to Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin. And
look, like you said, and I saw Jalen Lane play every single game at Virginia Tech. For 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating to watch them because over the 2 years, like McShay said, mm-hmm. they just struggled to get the ball in the air consistently, mm-hmm. right. and they struggled to find receivers when they were open. Those guys would just wait a little too long.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to happen here.
Jalen Lane, was when he got the ball, especially in open yeah. field, was really good.
Well, I was going to say, did you think he was special and it was just a shame at the time, or did you not realize how good he was because he wasn't getting it enough?
His first year, which would have been his fourth year in college, but his first year, I thought, okay, he's pretty good. I remember him dropping a couple balls in some big spots, but his final year, his senior year, his mm-hmm. fifth year playing mm-hmm. college, I thought, you know what, man, if they just had a legit quarterback, if he was playing like in Alabama or yeah. Georgia or Ole Miss or if somewhere in the SEC,
yeah, better surrounding
he'd
cast.
Be putting up some serious numbers.
Well, he led the team in catches with 38.
Right,
exactly. He's getting married this summer. That jumped out at me.
Okay.
Bold. Yeah, good for him. Young love.
Well, now he's got a super accurate stud quarterback throwing him the ball. So
yeah.
that accuracy and poor quarterback issue, that's not going to translate to the pros.
If he's on the field as a receiver much. I think he's primarily going to be a returner.
I think he's going to be utilized as a receiver more
but this
than
is
you
also,
probably think.
This is also a future pick because, you know, Debo, who knows if he's going to be here long term.
Sure.
You know, McLaurin's obviously, he's not old, but he's 28, 29. So this could be a future pick.
Right.
You know, Jalen Lane could be a guy that they do have in 5, 6, 7 years.
I think he's going to show enough flashes during the OTAs and training camps where Cliff's going to be like, I need to get this guy incorporated. Now, I'm not going to go crazy and bet on wide receiver catch numbers for him as a rookie because mm-hmm. I always get in trouble with that. But I think he's going to have a nice little role in the offense.
Everyone keeps saying that Cliff is going to love him as a gadget guy at first.
Yeah.
You know, to blend him in there. He is the one of the four, you know, they have what, 5 picks? He's the one that jumps out at you as, wow, he really could surprise you and make a play or two.
Yeah.
You know, the other guys, you know, certainly at 1 and 2, you expect those guys to have immediate impact. But he's like the fun one.
Yeah.
You know,
he's the shiny toy you get excited for.
And then I am a little bit interested in the 7th rounder from Arizona, the kid that played 1 game.
Sure. I mean, his metrics.
Imagine how good you must be if you played 1 game in 1 East Shrine and they still used a draft pick on you.
Right. They obviously liked what they saw when they fired
game.
Up your tape.
Now I know he had other tape, but in the last year he played 1 game.
Right.
So that he's kind of intriguing too, Jacory Kroski Merritt.
Are we a week away from the schedule release?
May 14th.
Yes, correct. Oh, that's gonna be such a great day. What day is that?
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
So less than a week away.
So next Thursday, a week from today, we'll do our first run through of the dubs and losses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Grant and Danny's favorite bit.
Sure.
They hate that, but how can
we
not?
It's a cornerstone of this program.
Most humans, they look at the schedule and they go, all right, winner,
just rip
loser,
off wins
winner.
And losses. Right. Yeah, of
I mean,
course.
Brian Billick did it on the Hard Knocks.
All it is,
I know you so well. I knew you were going to bring that up.
I mean, of course.
All it is human nature to want to pick wins and losses.
Yeah.
That's all.
And your opinion changes. Of course, your opinion changes as your information changes, as the teams make different moves. And then, of course, there's always the X factor of nobody knows. But it is fun to pick. It's fun to guess.
Of course. I'm trying to get you guys to do the schedule pool that we have.
Mm-hmm. I don't care when they play whoever. It means nothing to me.
I know. It's just a bit for the show.
I know, but it's hard to get excited for a bit that I literally have
you
zero passion for.
You don't
for.
Care about most of the betting bits we do.
By the way, thanks to Craig Hoffman for letting us steal his interview with Todd McShay. Some really good nuggets in there.
Right.
It's good booking. Well done.
I'm also intrigued by the way, the receiver they signed. Where was he, Jason? At Ole Miss in his last year? They signed him as a free agent. He's a little longer receiver.
Oh, yeah. You mean Jacory Brooks?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm intrigued by him, too. Now, I know JP says, man, we always talk about the 7th and 8th receivers. Okay. I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but maybe he can make the team and have 20 catches. That's fine. That'd be cool.
Here's what else I need more of in 2025. Need more Luke McCaffrey and need more Ben Sinnott.
But why are you going to get more Luke McCaffrey if you've got more Jalen Lane?
I need more of all of them.
Well, I would think the drafting of
Jalen Lane turns up the heat on McCaffrey.
Good.
It does, but
if you believe Lane is going to be a receiver.
Well, I think he's certainly going to compete right off the bat in punt returns and maybe kick returns.
They just I don't think you just draft a guy at that spot just to be a kick returner.
No. I think that's the initial impact.
Sure. Yeah. They'll throw him out of kick returns, but I think they have plans to utilize him in the offense, too.
I agree. But I think that Luke will get the first crack at it.
Yeah.
And it'll see if he can produce.
And Ja'Cory Brooks, who you were asking about, he went to Louisville. He transferred from Alabama to Louisville.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I don't know why I said Ole Miss.
You're thinking of Trey Amos.
When we come back, we'll talk Caps Canes with Tim Donnelly. He hosts Afternoon Drive on the Fan in Raleigh. He's going to join us next to talk about Game 2 between the Canes and the Caps. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender.